Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Down to Biscayne. Yay. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor. I'm your host, Greg Sylvander. Today's floor plan with me, Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. We're going to get into some Terry Rozier talk. We haven't talked about him in a few episodes, and we want to dive into kind of where he stands. I think that there is a lot of question marks about the roster going forward, questions about who's going to be on the roster, but I think Terry Rozier may be an integral part. So we're going to get into him on this episode here. Before we do, I want to tell you about a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim, or you're dealing with water, mold, or fire damage, looking for a reputable, fully licensed, insured, and certified contractor? Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. When a disaster strikes in your home or business, reach out to Michael and his team. With over 60 years of combined experience, Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their team is prepared to handle any size disaster. Third-generation contractors in South Florida, they maintain their sterling reputation with extremely diligent and honest work. Their objective is to make cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida, they're licensed, fully insured. They provide A to Z home one-stop shopping. So anything you need, your business requires it, your home requires it, you reach out to these guys. They're going to help you with the water damage, leak detection, damage assessment. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell, 954-579-0356. Again, that's Water Cleanup of Florida at 954-579-0356, WCUFL.com. If you got the schmutz, they got the guts. All right. So we're going to talk Terry today. Terry Rozier is under contract with the Miami Heat for two more seasons. He was acquired mid-season. They got him for Kyle Lowry in a draft pick. And, the injury bug was the injury bug. I think it was one of the more mysterious injuries, the way that it ended, Brady, with the neck thing and Riley talking about him being in a neck brace. Before we get into what may happen in the future, let's look back a little bit. Just his time in Miami, he was about 16-4-4. I think his averages were creeping a bit above that as we got, as he started to play better, and then the injury happened. But Brady, what were your thoughts on Terry Rozier's 30-some-odd games in Miami that were here last season?
Yeah, I thought it was funny when I saw that it was 30 games because it didn't feel that way. It felt like a very shorter stint. I think that's because of the recency bias that you mentioned with kind of not being available late in the season into the playoffs and in the play-in game. But I think it was tough for him because you acquire a guy mid-season and you have him in this role where, first of all, we're having the discussion, okay, should he take a step back and be a role player that's trying to get everybody else involved, or is he just going to just step in and be scary Terry the guy that's going to just take a bunch of shots and be this high volume guy. And it was like, it felt like everybody was talking around the Heat facility was like, okay, he's going to step into this role and he's not going to press. He's not going to do too much. But it felt like this roster wasn't talented enough for him to do that. Like, it's like, if you're acquiring this guy, and as you mentioned, you know, sending out a first round pick, you need him to be that guy. You need him to step up in that way and be a kind of a primary creator for you. And we saw him do that at certain points of the season. I remember that Cleveland game specifically was the big one where you just kind of went on that big run, big shots late in that game. It's kind of what you wanted to see from him. And he's just a tough shot maker. And it's kind of what you wanted to see on a team that doesn't have many of those. They don't have many of that type of player that doesn't need stuff drawn up for him, that doesn't need a screen, that doesn't need, you know, just, he just needs the ball in his hands and he can find a way to get a decent look for himself up. So I thought he figured that out at certain points when he got a little bit of a rhythm. And but the reason I say it was tough for him, not only the original role, but he never had consistency with the guys around him. And partly that's the big availability question that Pat Riley talked about. And that includes him because he wasn't available late in the season, obviously. But he was playing like that Cleveland game. I remember, wasn't it like just Jimmy? Like, I don't even think Bam and Tyler were playing in that game maybe. So that was the tough part. And that's why they need to fix that type of thing. So they can now in the off season say, okay, we need this from you moving forward. We need you to play this role no matter who's next to you. And it's funny because I mentioned to you before we started this. I feel like I forget he's even on the team at some points just because of the recency bias. And that's why we brought up doing this podcast, because like, we don't talk about the guy a ton. We haven't done a lot of conversations about Terry Rozier, where he stands on this roster moving forward. I've seen him be putting these trade, you know, the trade machines and everything, or I just feel like we're not talking about it on either side, if it's like in a trade machine or if it's on the floor next season. So it kind of is important. So right now it's about getting healthy, because I mean, look, we saw that Barry Jackson tweet late in the season where we were talking about career threatening. It's not career, but we didn't even think that was going to be in the question. So when you see that, we start talking about it a little bit differently. But once they need that guy healthy, and look, if they're going to have him around, they're going to need him to be the guy that he was in that Cleveland game.
Sounds like he will be healthy for next season. He should be ready. We don't know that for sure, but that's where it's trending, last I heard. I also think it's important to kind of preface this conversation by saying, my belief is the Heat view Terry Rozier as part of the solution much more than part of the problem. When you talk about what juice the offense needs and just things of that nature and what the overall build looks like, I think they think Terry is a part of it. But also, let's just acknowledge at $24.9 million, he's a movable contract with only 1 year past next year on. So I wouldn't say he's a player that's like, he's definitely not untouchable. He's definitely not being stopped. But if a huge deal were to come together, I think he could be part of it. But otherwise, I would expect Terry Rozier to be back next year. So it is important for us to talk about how he's going to play and also how he fits next to the other guys. I mean, what was your thoughts on his fit next to Hero? Let's go there, because I think that's where a lot of people are getting stuck with this roster, and they're thinking, oh, okay, if Terry and Tyler can't play together and we got to choose one of the two, maybe I choose the younger guy and we keep Tyler here. Maybe that's been the line of thinking a little bit. What were your thoughts on Tyler and Terry specifically as a backcourt last season?
Yeah, I think that was the big question mark, because we probably didn't even see it enough to the point where we have enough to talk about it, because that's true. The big question was like, how will it look eventually? And we're still at the point in the offseason where we're still kind of talking about hypotheticals. So I think the tough part is that we're at the point now where we know they need a guy in that backcourt that can be high volume, that has to be on the ball. Because we spent the early stages of Jimmy's Heat tenure, we're like, okay, a guy that needs to slide off the ball at times to give Jimmy his ability to get the ball. But now we're at the point where it's like, Jimmy he's not that guy, like that regular season guy. He doesn't want to be that on ball guy, that you need somebody that's going to create a ton and be that scoring punch. And in theory, you could say you have two of those guys that could kind of work off each other, that you can, I guess you run their own lineups in some ways, the way you could stagger them as Miami tried to do. But it didn't really seem that fluid. It seemed at certain points it was kind of my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn. They had certain points where they ran actions with the two, but it does seem like a point, as much as we could talk about Terry, you know, his effort defensively, Tyler, his growth defensively since his rookie year, it's just a tough backcourt dynamic defensively. There's too many things you can attack. Teams have attacked Tyler, as we saw in the playoffs. Terry just being smaller in general is just easier. That you can't really switch a ton with him. So I think just from the defensive aspect, it's tough to see that. And look, let's because I know we're going to always go back to the PAC conference because that's where we're at in the offseason. He hinted at the fact when he brought up the I think it was Ethan's question where he mentioned UD talking about Tyler being a six man. And he threw in the fact that, well, it could be Terry or Tyler. Well, why does that? He didn't have to bring up either one of them.
Like, yeah, Terry so caught a stray.
Like he did catch a stray. Like, I think it's kind of that Pat's thinking is like, it probably is going to be one of them if it's a similar look. Like, they probably do need to stagger them, and they need somebody that could, I guess, anchor the bench unit in a way because there wasn't a fluidness, I guess, to say. Look, is it similar to Mitchell and Garland's situation? Like, look how they're splitting those guys up because it's not working. It's kind of like the Tyler-Terry dynamic where, like, you have one guy two guys that need the ball in their hands that are trying to find their way. So it's like, I don't know. And Cleveland doesn't have a Jimmy Butler. So there's only one ball to go around. So they will have to make that decision if this is the same roster. So that's another whole other conversation that we'll have to have. But 100%, I there was just not enough to look at with the rate. I was looking at it right now. I was trying to find their exact offensive and defensive rating, if I could find it right here. It was – let me see. We may have to come back to it because it's not popping up right now. But the point was that I'm curious to see because we didn't – I don't even know what the sample size was.
Oh, I bet it's really small.
It ended up being –
we're trying to hold here. This is great podcast stuff here.
This is great podcast. So when you do stuff on the fly, Ethan would be proud of us. 115 offensive rating and 118 defensive rating was what it ended up being in the regular season. I think this is 11 games.
So yeah, out of see, 30 that's games, the key.
11. But still, the 118 defensive rating, I think, is kind of key to what I was just talking about. Like that's the part that's going to be tough to – you have to have a lineup of three other dogs defensively. You have to have Jimmy playoff level defensively. You have to have Haywood and you have to have Bam. That's probably what you have to make that work consistently. And I just don't know if Miami's never going to have the ability to just pick guys and say, we're going to put this guy here and this guy here because they're never available. They have to do stuff on the fly. So I don't know. That the defensive part's kind of more my focus.
Agree. I think the defensive part of this is where it's always going to come back to with those two guys. There's a small backcourt. A lot of people have asked, well, then why did they make the trade if Tyler and Terry don't fit together? I still think that there's ways they could play together. But it's all about, is this the backcourt that you can go with as a fixture, as a duo in your backcourt? I don't know that that's it either. So it is a little bit, there's question marks here. And then his health is still a big question mark. And there's also questions about what the rest of the roster is going to look like ahead. We're going to talk about next season, specifically what we could see from Terry that might change, that could make this a better, more fluid transition for him specifically, because I still feel like he's going under that transition from Charlotte to Miami because he only did play the 30 games. So we'll get into next season in a bit. Before we do, I want to tell you about another great sponsor, and that is Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the daily fantasy partner of Five Reason Sports. They are for all of your power plays, flex plays. You can play them in Florida again. It's daily fantasy simplified. You just make your lineup, choose more or less on points, rebounds, assists. If you play other sports, you can play other sports as well. You can do 2, 3, 4, 5 pick plays, all matching or using different sports. Sign up now. Use the code 5. That'll get your initial deposit match up to $100. Again, this is prizepicks.com. Download the app. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E, to get your initial deposit match up to $100. That's PrizePicks, the daily fantasy sponsor of the Miami Heat, Five Reason Sports Network, and Five on the Floor.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the way it handled. I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Sorry, that was a rough transition, just like Terry's was to Miami. Initially, a little bumpy ride, but eventually you get in playoff form, and we're in the offseason. So next season, it's a tough one for me because we don't know what the roster is going to look like. But I think we can definitively say they need Terry to be a little bit – they need scary Terry to arrive, and they needed him to arrive consistently. And he did. And so I think that you need more of that. I thought he was playing pretty damn well right before the injury. And I think that they're going to need him to be aggressive to a fault at times on this roster. We don't know what the rest of it's going to look like, but as a point guard, he's going to need to be putting pressure on the rim. For next season specifically, what are some things you think Terry Rozier could do differently or play or maybe not do differently that we want to see from him just specifically to next year? Where are the avenues of his game that maybe we didn't get to see him completely thrive and show off yet, or just your thoughts on him coming up next year?
Yeah, you mentioned him kind of playing at a higher level right before the injury. And one of the shifts he made was he eliminated a lot of those deep mid ranges that I think a lot of people were kind of sick of watching, like his heel on the 3-point line and taking those tough step backs for those deep twos. And it was like, if you could turn those into pull up threes, it changes so much. You need to get threes up in this team. If you're going to have the ball in your hands a ton, you need to get those up. And he's playing off ball just as much. It was kind of, that was the other big shift, was they were kind of running him off screens and using him off ball. There was a game where he had like 6 or 7 threes, and I don't think he took a dribble on any of his 3-point makes. So they started trying to find ways of him just catching and shooting. But I think eliminating those pull-ups and taking more pull-up threes, because he is such a good on-ball shooter, the stuff he did in Charlotte, those little side steps, like that is him. That is his game. You could try just let him get into that type of flow. And then you mentioned putting your head down. He needs those paint touches, but I think more than the paint touches, he needs to just work on the finishing. I think if he could just kind of have that high level, if there was one thing to move forward to next season, I think if he could finish a little bit more efficiently, that changes a ton. That changes a whole lot for this team. If you have to kind of really start worrying about that and sinking guys off the corners, and he could start working those kickouts, like that's huge. So, probably just the first and third levels, and just kind of trying to eliminate that second level as much as possible. And look, the Heat are going to do that. They did it to Tyler. They've done it in the past, the guys. They want to eliminate that shot as much as possible, even if the guy is really good at it, just like Tyler. Tyler's great at it. But they want to turn those into either that, you know, that floater or that three. And I think that's probably where they're going to look to Terry the most to kind of change things up, I guess.
I agree with you on the paint. Just being more efficient with finishing. He hasn't necessarily been a great finisher even back to his Charlotte days, but I do think that there could be some improvement there. I'm with you on all of that. the sidestep three is something he's got to get back to even more, because that's when you know he's really in rhythm. And he killed Miami doing that stuff, specifically up in Charlotte a couple times. I mean, like, he just was nasty. So I'm ready to see some of that as well. I'm interested to see him get up more three-point attempts. I think that that's another big one. You mentioned the pull-up three or the on-ball threes and stuff like that. I want to see him get into it off-ball as well. We talk about no dribble threes. That's the kind of stuff they need from him. As many three-point shots as they can get out of him, I think is going to help open things up, combined with getting to the rim. I don't know how they fit with another backcourt member. I'm not sold on the Tyler Hero thing yet. I don't know what's going to happen moving forward, but I would venture to guess one of those two probably won't be here next year. Maybe that is a stretch for me to go that far, but I would think it doesn't make a ton of sense to have both of them. Maybe Terry does get featured in a off-the-bench role. It's going to be an interesting offseason. There's so many question marks. I feel like we started this Terry Rozier conversation 17 minutes ago, and we've got more questions than we really do have answers. And that's going to probably be a common theme with a lot of guys throughout this summer until we figure out what the rest of the roster looks like. But we did want to bring you an episode about Terry Rozier specifically, about his fit. Final thoughts, Brady, before we close here.
I want to ask you one last question before we finish this one up. If the Heat were to get Donovan Mitchell, would Terry Rozier, A, not be on the team, B, be starting next to Mitchell, or C, would he be coming off the bench?
I'm going C as the microwave off the bench. They still need scoring. I think that he would still be here after that transaction, because they have other contracts that can get this to work. And I just think their most attractive trade package may not include Terry Rozier. So I would expect him to then come off the bench, not next to Donovan Mitchell. That's crazy. So if Donovan becomes a reality for me, I think he would come off the bench. Do you disagree?
I mean, I think it would probably depend on who else they have, because I don't know who would be starting at point guard, I guess, at that point. Just kind of thinking off the, I mean, would they start DeLon? Like, could they,
or do Donovan on ball?
They could do that. I guess they could. And he's done that before, but I guess. And you look, they're positionless, so they would probably lean in that direction. But if they were to try to get a defensive guy, it wouldn't be crazy to think DeLon could be a starter in that instance. But that's a tough sell. I don't think Terry would be against it, because I don't think he's that, like, he's one that you'd have a tough sell to be like coming off the bench in that way. So I think he'd accept it, but it'd be interesting. I mean, this is what we talk about during the season. We have these conversations, and then every guy is out, you know, this game, that game, this game, that game, and they just have to throw their best players starting the game every time. So I guess this is like a real future thing. It's like, what would be happening if everybody was healthy in the playoffs? But that's a true hypothetical. But yeah, I would say they would probably lean in the, and look, that's the scoring punch you need. That's building a roster that has like different avenues that you can hit on, that gives Jimmy the ability to like play his game in the regular season and get to where he wants. So that'd be interesting. That's a big hypothetical. I just wanted to just get your opinion on it, because I think that's like an interesting one for Terry, because that's like the one kicker, I feel like, that we don't really know about him.
You're right. Of all the players that are out there that the Heat could pursue, the one that I think impacts Terry the most would be Spida. Like, if they get Mr. Mitchell in here, then that would obviously, there'd be impacts to what his future looks like and what his role looks like. There's other guys, there's more seamless fits, whether it's Brandon Ingram or someone like that. You know, Terry would be starting in that instance. Donovan Mitchell, it's a little different. So it's a good point. I think that those hypotheticals, they kind of hamper some of this discussion at times, because we can't really go down every road because we don't know what the team's going to look like yet. So we're a little premature here, but we wanted to give love to Terry Rozier. I still think it was the right move at the time. I still think Terry Rozier can be part of the solution in Miami. I still think that Terry Rozier can be a good fit in the backcourt for Miami. I don't know that it's next to Tyler Hero, and that is the big question mark. So hopefully we've thinking about next season. We appreciate all of the downloads, all of the subscribes, all the likes. For Brady, for myself, thank you for joining us, and we'll have you covered for another episode tomorrow.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.